This is Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. And today we're taking a trip to the intersection of 8th Avenue South and East Marginal Way in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood. Erica Bush is here, standing in a parking lot next to a single-story motel.
So this intersection hosts all of the uses that I would say are critical and representative of this community and the Duwamish Valley in general. So you have industry, you have small businesses, you have residential, you have metro.
We're here to talk to Bush about Vision Zero, Seattle's initiative to reach zero traffic fatalities by the year 2030. In Bush's mind, intersections like this one in Georgetown show the complications of getting there. East Marginal Way is a busy arterial. It hosts a whir of cars and freight, and there's an endless procession of garbage trucks leaving a maintenance facility. An incomplete strip of sidewalk hugs one side of the street. Semi-truck trailers are parked along the road. There are no bike lanes. But the north side of the street marks the start of a residential neighborhood. There's a sandwich shop, and unlike East Marginal Way, 8th Avenue South has a pedestrian-friendly sidewalk. Freight routes like this one represent the only way to move out of neighborhoods like Georgetown and South Park. And for Bush, this is a problem. She calls it scale differential.
And so there is this huge discrepancy in the feeling of safety because the scale of the spaces dedicated to uses are so disproportionate.
Bush is the lead organizer for Duwamish Valley Safe Streets and an urban designer. She works in South Park, Georgetown, and SoTo, advocating for safer and more accessible non-car transportation options. There were two recent deaths on the street in Seattle's SoTo neighborhood, which is a neighborhood you must pass through to get downtown from here. Bush says infrastructure that's not designed for people is part of this problem.
We really need to start thinking about these streets as a network for all people. And then resourcing them appropriately to meet those needs.
Vision Zero is supposed to do this work, and the program has made significant changes on some Seattle streets, like Rainier Avenue South. In a recent presentation to the Seattle City Council, the Vision Zero team noted that collisions with bicycles and pedestrians are down 40% on Rainier. But overall in the city, deaths from traffic collisions are trending up this year. Bush says that the city should focus more on projects that can be implemented in less than 6 months, ways to immediately save lives. And she's confused about why there haven't been changes at deadly intersections in SoTo.
These are huge freight routes that haven't seen adaptation in decades. And so we have to just be willing to make some changes in short succession because people are dying. And it needs to be responded to in an appropriate time frame.
The intersection at 8th Avenue South and East Marginal Way is also a gateway. Beyond the semi-truck trailer across the street, past the recycling facility, past the lot for garbage trucks, there lies a small green space along the Duwamish River.
Down that unnoticeable, somewhat alley-looking thing is the only access point to the Duwamish for Georgetown.
But having access to the river is important for residents.
The fact that there almost is no physical connection to the river when the river was why this community exists in the first place is really pretty backwards.
We take a walk down 8th towards the Duwamish. Garbage trucks roll by.
Like the second set of railroad tracks that you have to cross.
And we move through a thicket of blackberry bushes at the end of 8th Avenue that opens up to the river.
Once you get through the gauntlet that it takes, you're like, oh my God, there's like, this is amazing. Like, and it all, like you all of a sudden have this completely different understanding of the context of where you are and like the scale of the river and like its connection to different parts of Seattle.
Since Vision Zero launched in 2015, 175 people have died in traffic fatalities in the city of Seattle. 1,200 people have been seriously injured. The Vision Zero team recently updated Seattle City Council on their work. And here to talk more about the progress and challenges that still remain is Allison Schwartz, Seattle's Vision Zero coordinator. Hi, Allison.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So traffic fatalities and serious collisions have been trending up in the last 2 years in Seattle. What's going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, you know, nationally, pedestrian fatalities have been on the rise for the past decade or so. And as we have seen kind of many things be uncovered over the past couple of years living through a pandemic, one thing that COVID-19 has shined a light on in the space of transportation and transportation safety is the design of our roadways. And really an underlying kind of issue was that one of the things that we had been relying on to help calm traffic and slow speeds, which is really critical for traffic safety, was the congestion on our roadways. And with, you know, changing travel patterns and vehicle volumes over the course of the last couple of years, especially, again, related to COVID, we saw kind of a decrease of vehicles on the road or, you know, on the road at different times. And so those peak times changed a little bit. And we saw, you know, effects from that. So higher speeds and more severe crashes when they did happen. And that's a primary issue that we think is happening over the past couple of years.
So what do you do about that? If there's less traffic, less congestion, people are going faster, what's the solution?
Yeah, so we need to look at how our roads have been designed over the past several decades, really to prioritize the fast movement and the free flow of vehicles in a lot of ways. And we need to really shift the paradigm away from that and towards a paradigm that centers on the safety of human beings. And so one of the best ways that we as a transportation agency and as a city can do that is to look at how our streets have been designed and to redesign them, orient them toward people and slow and manage vehicle speeds and slow down and calm traffic. And so there are a few ways that we can do that. And we've seen success doing it here in Seattle and across the country and around the world is, you know, doing what's called a rechannelization, basically rearranging the road to do things like narrow the width of the roadway, reduce the number of lanes there, adding in turn lanes so you can kind of reduce the different points of conflicts that occur without a turn lane. So that's one of the key ways that we can do that. And also do things like improving crossing opportunities for people who are walking and rolling, creating separated spaces for people to be. So sidewalks, different types of walkways, protected bicycle lanes, things like that. So we can give people safe, comfortable, and predictable places to be so that we can reduce those conflict points as well.
The vast majority of fatalities happen on larger, busier arterial roads like Rainier Avenue, Aurora Avenue, Lake City Way. How do you improve safety on these roads and yet continue to use them as these alternatives for freight and, you know, people who are trying to cut away from the freeways? I mean, are those two goals just going to be in conflict and those two uses cannot coexist on these big arterials?
I don't think they're necessarily in conflict. The trade-off that we're going to have to make is to slow vehicles down to the speed of life so that if and when a crash occurs, it doesn't become deadly or, you know, severely injure someone. So people and cars can coexist, but it's really important for us to, again, make those separated spaces for folks. So a lot of these places that you just mentioned, you know, have inadequate crossing opportunities or no separated space for people to walk or bike. And so those are some of the improvements that we're going to have to make. And if you think about any of those streets and you compare them to like a residential street and think about how you experience a residential street, whether it be one or two lanes, and how you're kind of forced to slow down. When you slow down, you can see a lot more. You can react more quickly. You can stop more quickly. And all those things really add up.
People in cars are a loud and influential block of voters and people that are able to get their voice heard at City Hall. What are the obstacles when Vision Zero says, I want to slow down traffic on Lake City Way or Aurora? I mean, how do you overcome opposition to that from people who say, I want to get home faster?
Yeah, I mean, it is a shift in mentality. But I would also offer that most people who drive, and I myself am included, I drive, I walk, I bike, I take the bus, do that all with my individually or with my family, you know. Every time I drive my car, I'm also walking to get to my car, walking from the parking parking space to get to where I need to go, walking across the street. You know, every person is a pedestrian. And so I think that while there's convenience and there's, you know, fast, fast, hurry, hurry in our lives, we also all have that shared experience of probably trying to get across the street, maybe knowing someone who's been in a bad crash or been in, you know, in a near miss yourself. And so I think we just have to put ourselves in those shoes as well, so that we can understand those trade-offs, and that if we as a city and as a community agree that we want to reduce serious and fatal crashes down to zero, then these are the things that we're going to need to do to get there.
Where have Vision Zero's biggest successes been so far, and where does the most work need to be done?
I think some of the greatest successes have been in things both big and small. So Rainier Avenue is a street that you mentioned earlier, and it's a street that is a long corridor, and where we've made changes there, we've seen reductions in speeding, especially the highest speeding, and also reductions in injury collisions. So in the Columbia City and part of the Hillman City area, where we've made improvements over the past several years, we've seen the outcome of that, and smaller tools as well. So if you've been waiting at a signalized intersection and you get the walk sign a couple seconds early before, you know, vehicles get their green light, that's something that's called a leading pedestrian interval. And we see also great benefits for people walking there, reductions in crashes, and it just increases visibility and awareness for everybody. There are a number of treatments, small and large like that, that we see successes in, and we just need to amplify those and do more of them.
We just spoke to Erica Bush, who leads Duwamish Valley Safe Streets, and she said that there is a stretch of 4th Avenue in SoDo where two people have been killed in car crashes this year. And Bush's complaint is that Vision Zero moves too slowly. What factors go into how fast Vision Zero can make a change or start a project in an area where we see fatalities like that corridor in SoDo?
Yeah, I appreciate that comment from Erica, and I got the chance to meet her and go on a walk with her and a couple council members and other folks engaged in Duwamish Valley Safe Streets and Safe Streets advocates. And it was great to go out and experience that space in person with everybody, so we could see all the different movements and uses, and of course acknowledge the deaths that have occurred there recently and over the years. You know, I think we're looking for opportunities. I know we are, because my team is working on this, looking for opportunities to make changes more quickly. And it takes, you know, coordination with a number of other teams within our department. And we're going to get there.
Right now, there's a Seattle City Council Transportation Committee meeting going on, and they're considering Greg Spott's nomination as the next director of Seattle's Department of Transportation. And Spots has said in this meeting just shortly a few minutes ago that he'll be conducting a top to bottom review of the Vision Zero program. Is there anything that your team will be doing or potentially looking at changing when you have new leadership, we assume, if Spots is confirmed by the council?
Yeah, we're looking forward to working with Greg and excited that, you know, he is already bringing Vision Zero to the forefront of conversations of our work as a department. That's really important. And we look forward to, you know, providing him with information about the projects that we've worked on and where we see the program headed. So we'll see, you know, as we move through this confirmation process, we'll continue to get to learn a little bit more about him as well. And again, we look forward to working with him closely on Vision Zero.
I'm curious, how big is your team?
Yeah, so I'm the program coordinator for the Vision Zero program, and our team, including myself, we have 5 people. So I manage 4 folks who are primarily engineers and planners who are doing the like early planning and development work for these projects, for these high injury streets like Rainier. So there's 5 of us.
I don't mean to downplay what 5 people can do, but the scale of this problem seems like it's out of whack with the number of folks that the city has dedicated to reducing traffic fatalities. I mean, what would it look like if the city was all in, and what kind of involvement and what scale of a team would you really need to make a difference and reach that goal of eliminating traffic fatalities by 2030?
That's a big question. I'm not sure I can answer it, but I do want to add that, you know, so we have a team of five specifically working on the Vision Zero program, but there are so many people that we work with, other programs and teams across SDOT that are advancing safety. So, you know, we've got our colleagues in the pedestrian program, the bicycle program, the Safe Routes to School program. We've got our colleagues in operations and maintenance and people working on our huge capital projects, where safety is really embedded into processes and you know, practices throughout. So we're, you know, leading the charge on Vision Zero and working in partnership with so many others across our department and also in other parts of the city, including, you know, agencies like Seattle and King County Public Health.
Equity is a pillar of the Vision Zero plan. People of color, especially Black people, are disproportionately affected by car collisions. Last year, people who are unhoused made up almost 30% of total fatalities in the city. How much can you design for safety on our streets, given that we are confronting deep structural inequality and legacies of racism that are really baked into the design of neighborhoods and location of streets?
I'm so glad you put it that way. These are really big structural issues. And there's no one thing or one way that we're going to be able to tackle them all. But one of the things that we're really trying to do is daylight and highlight these connection points and these threads of our work together. And I said it, you know, a few times already, but slowing down is so critical to being able to achieve our Vision Zero goals. Speed is the critical factor in both the frequency and the severity of crashes. And so if we can slow people down again to the speed of life, then we can reduce the instance of crashes and severity of those crashes. And we know that, you know, we have vulnerable community members, we have marginalized community members who are already, you know, disproportionately affected by so many things, including traffic collisions. If we can slow things down, we can reduce the effect on those neighbors of ours. And also, again, the things I said earlier, those same treatments, reducing lane widths, reducing the number of lanes to shorten the distance that people have to cross, right? Because many of these, the majority of fatalities that we're also seeing are people walking. And so if we can reduce that exposure and that risk, then we can improve safety, especially for those who are already most vulnerable.
Vision Zero, I'll just say it again, had a goal of ending fatalities from car collisions by 2030 in Seattle. That's only a few years away. If that goal is not reached, what other metrics should we be looking at to judge the success of this program?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think we see success where we make improvements and where we apply these proven treatments and engineering tools. So we really need to amp that up and be more aggressive in the application of them for us to see kind of those overall trends shifting. And I think we can get there. I know we can get there. Seattle is considered a leader nationally on transportation safety. And we have work to do, and we're working to get there.
Allison Schwartz is the Vision Zero coordinator with the City of Seattle. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.